Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Jumping to verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence, believing for a word from heaven, believing for a move of your Spirit here on earth. Help those listening, give them understanding. And Lord, whatever troubles and trials that they happen to find themselves in, I'm asking you to help them. If it's finances, if it's sickness that they're struggling with, if they have a child that's in jail tonight, whatever the problem, Lord, I'm asking you to help. I'm asking you, Lord, to reach down and help them. Your word says that we should bring our needs to you. Your word says that we should look to you and trust you. And I'm asking, Lord, exactly that. Help them. Help us to trust you, and please help my listeners. And in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Old Testament, Paul said, was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The Old Testament laws, Leviticus and what have you, the Passover event and the great deliverance that God gave to the children of Israel, the prophets that came and preached repentance all throughout Israel's history. I could go on, but all of these things in the Old Testament point to Christ, lay the foundation for Christ, pave the way for Christ. The greatest Old Testament prophet, although we read about him in the Gospels, is John the Baptist. And his message, of course, repentance. But he was merely a voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Make his paths straight." He said, "All I'm doing is baptizing with water unto repentance." But in verse 11, "He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear." You see, the Old Testament points to Christ. But John said, "He, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus, God come in the flesh. Jesus, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." John's message, and that of the entire Old Testament, is look to Christ. Look to Jesus. He's coming. Look to him. John had the privilege of not only saying, "He's coming," but "He's here." When Christ came to Jordan to be baptized, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And if you didn't understand it, I want to say it again. The Old Testament points to Christ. That's its mission. That's its duty. That's its obligation. And it fulfilled it perfectly. The Old Testament points to Christ. But this phrase, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." The title of my message, "The Holy Ghost and Fire." Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If you will, please turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. Many of you know this passage. It's Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And I really don't have time to preach the whole thing. But there's something that I'd like to bring out, which I believe will bless you. We understand in reading this chapter and the ones that precede it and follow it, that Ahab was an evil king, that he worshipped false gods, and when God would correct him, he would rebel. And every time the people of God, the prophets of God, would come and have something to say, he'd get mad. It says right here in verse 17, again in 1 Kings chapter 18, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered," or Elijah answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baalim," or Baal, Beelzebub. In other words, idols, not the God that delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage, but a false way, a false god, Baalim, or Baal. But the prophet issues a challenge to Ahab and those that followed false gods and worked and ministered for false gods. In verse 19, "Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400 that eat at Jezebel's table." And again, I don't have time to preach this entire message. But the short version is that God sent his prophet Elijah to prove Israel, to demonstrate God's power, and to prove the hearts of those in the camp. Verse 21, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." In other words, you need to make up your mind, Israel. And today I want to say, you listening to me, you need to make up your mind. If the Lord is God, if the things that I preach and the things that are found in this book are of God, then follow God. Put your lot in with God. Surrender your heart and life to God. Get serious about the Bible and this Christian walk and live for God. But if the Bible isn't true, then by all means, go to the casino. By all means, go to the bar. By all means, get stoned. By all means, leave your husband and go with someone else. If the Bible isn't true, Paul said, then we are of all men most miserable. But if the Bible is true, then you need to serve him. You need to live for God. but God set up a showdown. Elijah and God stood against Baal and all of his prophets. He said in verse 23, "Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, and let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under." In other words, let's take a couple of offerings. I'll build an altar, I'll offer to God, but let these false prophets, the ones that worship Satan, Baal, let them build their altar. Let them call upon their God, their false God. And if Baal answers by fire, then let's serve Baal. But if the God from heaven answers by fire, then we need to follow God, the one that's truly in heaven. And Baal's men went first. They built an altar. They dressed their bullock. They made a sacrifice. They prayed, they danced, they shouted. They did other things. It says that they cut themselves with knives. That I truly don't understand. But it says they made a great commotion. And in verse 29, it came to pass when midday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. You see, you can live for the devil. You can do it your way. You can live any way you want. And truly, that's the way of Satan. But in the end, the wages of sin is death. The paycheck for living for the devil, the wages of sin, is death in hell. There's no salvation, no satisfaction, no payoff for not following God. But in verse 30, "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me." That's the gospel call. Come near unto me. Remember the woman at the well? She said, "Come see a man." You see, we should come to Christ and heed His ministers. The ones preaching the truth, we should listen to them. "Come near unto me," he said. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You see, in all the commotion, the altar that Elijah had built, it had fallen down. It was in disrepair. We've forgotten about church. We've forgotten the old hymns. We've forgotten how to kneel at an old-fashioned altar and confess our sins. We've forgotten the things of God. And we as Christians need to get back to the things of God. We as Christians should remember our first love. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. But it says that Elijah took stones, 12 stones, one for each of the tribes of Israel, and he built the altar of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar. Then he had 12 barrels of water brought in, and they poured it upon the altar. The sticks got wet. The bullock got wet. The stones got wet. The ground was soaked. But it says in verse 36, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all things at Thy word." Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. You see, the prophet calls upon God and says, show the people that you're real. Show the people that you still are the God that healeth thee. God can still heal the brokenhearted. God can still comfort the afflicted. But it's our job to allow God to turn our hearts back to Him. But it says in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. You've got a soggy sacrifice, a soggy altar, drenched with water, soaked through with water. But Elijah calls upon God and says, show the people that you're real. And fire from heaven fell and consumed the sacrifice, burned up the bullock, burned up the sticks, burned up the stones, burnt up all the water. You see, no matter how difficult your circumstance, no matter how impossible it seems, if you'll trust in God and call upon God, He can do something from heaven. He can answer from heaven, no matter how difficult it seems. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. But the fire fell from heaven, and it says in verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Jesus is the one that you should serve. Not the bottle. Not the cigarettes. Not the gambling. Not anything. Because again, we both know that those things do not satisfy. Jesus satisfies. Jesus is your answer. But I want to draw your attention to the fact that the fire from the Lord God in heaven, fell upon that altar and consumed it. And that was a sign from heaven that God accepted the sacrifice. I want to say that again. Elijah built an altar. He repaired the altar of the Lord. And to make it difficult, he drenched it. He poured 12 barrels of water on top of it. But you see, the altar, it says in verse 36, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. The things that he did, repairing the altar and drenching it with water, he did it at God's word. Now the water was just to prove to the people that God can do anything, and God can take soggy wood and light it afire from heaven. But you see, he built an altar at the time of the evening sacrifice. The morning and the evening sacrifices took place at 9 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the temple. And we understand that Jesus Christ was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning. They nailed him to the cross at 9. He hung on the cross for 6 hours. But at 3 o'clock, he gave up the ghost. He died. So this altar that Elijah built It made reference to Calvary. It made reference to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ when he hung upon the cross. But all through the Old Testament, God says it's his way to approach him by the altar. The correct Old Testament way to approach God is by building an altar. And the correct New Testament Christian way to approach God the Father is by trusting that Jesus Christ hung on the cross. He is our sacrifice. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In Isaiah 53, you can read about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ when he was upon God's altar. And when the fire fell from heaven and consumed Elijah's sacrifice, it was a sign from God that God accepted that sacrifice. At the beginning of the program, we read about John the Baptist. He said, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight." And of course, he was speaking of Jesus Christ. But John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Turn very quickly with me to Acts chapter 2. A familiar passage, I'm sure. But Acts chapter 2, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly," get that, "and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Notice verse 3, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." The word Pentecost means 50 or 50th. Jesus died on Calvary. We understand that message. But 50 days later, the day of Pentecost, 50th, the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples. And it says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." John the Baptist said, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." When Elijah called upon God after he rebuilt the altar, God answered from heaven with fire. And here we see in the Gospels that Jesus Christ gave his life for you and me. And we know that God accepted Christ's sacrifice as remedy for sin. And here we find the fire from heaven. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." This is a sign from heaven. The day of Pentecost and what happened on that great day is a sign from heaven that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for you and me. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts as we confess the Lord and are born again, that's a sign from heaven that God accepted Jesus Christ. We understand that Christ died for you and me, but when we accept him personally, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us as a sign that God has accepted Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. Lord, take me back to the old. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.